Welcome to AM Best Audio.
Lightning remains a costly and unpredictable hazard for homeowners, with U.S. insurers paying out over $1 billion in lightning-related claims in 2024, according to the Insurance Information Institute. While the number of claims dropped by 21.5% from 2023, Florida, Texas, and California continue to lead the nation in lightning-related losses. The findings highlight both the growing effectiveness of mitigation efforts and the ongoing need for awareness, preparedness, and risk protection in lightning-prone areas. I'm Lori Chortis for AM Best Audio, and joining us now to discuss that is Dale Porfilio, III's Chief Insurance Officer. Dale, welcome. It's great to speak with you again. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Truly my pleasure. Appreciate the invitation.
So Dale, what's driving the sharp decline in lightning-related claims and severity over the past year?
The simple answer is that it's rain and variation. The reality is that if you look at it on a longer decade-long pattern, lightning primarily comes from severe convective storm-type events. And those have been increasing across the United States and in different geographies than it has been before. So the fact that it's lower in 2024 versus 2023, I refer to that simply as random variation. Some years it's going to be higher, some years it's going to be lower. But in terms of the overall long-term risk, I continue to see that being a significant concern and would continue to raise it as a point for homeowners and business owners to be thinking about. If you look at it in a longer time period as well, in four of the last 5 years, the insurance industry has paid out in excess of $1 billion for lightning claims. So it continues to remain a significant point of concern for homeowners, business owners, and the insurance industry that's protecting them.
And speaking of insurers, for insurers, how are they working to raise awareness and promote lightning mitigation strategies among homeowners?
There's two things I would point to. One, we recently did go through Lightning Awareness Week. You know, I mean, there's a lot of different awareness weeks and months that we have across the country, but there's one that is dedicated to Lightning Awareness Week, and that's the week that we did release this study just to help raise awareness with our audience here at the III. We get millions of people that come through our website when they're asking questions about insurance, and so it's an opportunity for us to raise that awareness. We obviously partner with State Farm in this analysis. We build off of data from them. And clearly, they insure a very high percentage of people in the country as well. And so they leverage this for their media as well. At the III, we also partner with the Lightning Protection Institute. They're an organization dedicated to the exact point you ask about, of how do you promote lightning mitigation strategies. They've got an entire toolbox of different resources on their website. And we feature some of those on our website as well. But it's good resources for both homeowners and businesses.
Given regional differences, how are insurers adjusting underwriting or pricing in high-risk states like Florida and Texas?
I'll make a countrywide comment first and then drill down to some of the states that you were asking about. The first of all is we have certainly seen over the last 5 years that everything related to repairing homes has cost more. And so we have had this cycle of higher prices for homeowners insurance broadly. That said, it does vary by state. Countrywide, average homeowner premiums have increased over 50% from 2020 to 2024. And that's certainly been a painful cycle for anybody who owns a home and has been maintaining insurance on them. That said, that does vary state by state, as I said. And so states like Florida and Texas, where they've had significant, where they routinely have a higher rate of lightning claims and more expensive lightning claims, certainly are states where companies have had to take a look at it and say, what can they do? The single biggest thing that companies are doing is to increase risk sharing with homeowners. What that means and what that looks like is that many companies are choosing to increase the deductibles that they're requiring homeowners to maintain. So when a loss does occur, you know, the homeowner may be paying the first $1,000 or $5,000 or maybe 1% of the coverage A amount, different ways, different companies doing different things. But that's saying you still have coverage for it, but part of the cost is going to be borne by the homeowners and a greater amount than may have been before. Other examples is that companies are experimenting with varying the price of the policy by the age of the roof, recognizing that somebody that has a brand new roof next to somebody who has a 20-year-old roof and a storm comes through, those two roofs are going to experience loss differently. A new roof has more flexible shingles. They're not going to be, you know, brittle in the same way as a 20-year-old roof. And so recognizing that loss is going to be different, companies are varying the price based on that as well. And some companies are also going to the point of changing the roof coverage, that if a roof is beyond a certain age, and companies may vary what that age might be, that they're changing, instead of it being replacement cost, you're getting actual cash value. So instead of getting a brand new roof, you may get paid for the equivalent of a 10-year-old roof, 15-year-old roof, depending on what the company conditions might be. So it's that combination of deductibles, age of roof pricing, and changing of the roof coverage towards ACV are different approaches that you're seeing. And it's happening most commonly in states with higher risk, like Florida and Texas, that you asked about in your question.
Customize your data experience. BestLink now offers an interactive company dashboard that provides company-level intelligence in a fast, user-friendly interface featuring interactive tables, charts, and Sparkline performance histories. Customize the dashboard tiles to prioritize the insurer ratings, data, and analytics that best support your workflow. AM Best. Our insight, your advantage.
So how can insurers encourage the adoption of lightning protection systems and risk assessments?
The simplest way is to offer pricing credits for resilience investments, whether it's lightning or other perils as well. Insurance companies do want to be incenting people to make their homes more resilient when weather is going to occur. And so most companies offer a wide range of different pricing credits or discounts to try to reward that. Now, the reality is those discounts usually are not going to be dollar for dollar offsetting of the investment it may take. And that's because homeowners do need to be thinking about resilience of their home for the long term. And there's a great study that I want to point to, not lightning related, but I think it's a great proxy to think about for lightning as well. And that is down in the state of Alabama. They've had a program to encourage people to get fortified roofs down there for a number of years. It started with grants from the state to help people be able to put on fortified roofs. But a lot of people are now choosing to do so on their own accord to say, my neighbor has this fortified roof, and that means something different than my old asphalt shingle. And so they're getting broader adoption in Alabama of many, many people now putting fortified roofs on their home. Fortified is a standard that was designed by the Insurance Institute for Building and Home Safety, IBHS, as we abbreviate it. The reason why I want to bring that up is that that is a long-term investment by a homeowner to say, I want my home to be more resilient when things occur, whether it's a windstorm or whether it's lightning that may come and impact my home. Lightning protection systems do cost money, and no discount is going to fully offset you for that investment in the next year in a 12-month policy. But if you think about your home as a long-term investment, you might get a small discount that helps towards that long-term investment. The final piece that I talk about from Alabama is that they were able to do a study, having been in place long enough, to know that there also is a market value difference for homes that have a fortified roof than those that don't. When we say market value, that means when you're going to sell your home, instead of it being a $200,000 house, maybe it's a $215,000 or $220,000 house when you go to sell it. In Alabama, what the study showed is it was a 7% higher market value. 7% may not feel like a huge number, perhaps, because it's 7%. But when you think about what it might have cost to put on that fortified roof, you've owned that home for a number of years now. You go to sell it, and you're getting something more back for the sale of that home because you chose to invest in your home and make it more resilient. Whether it's a fortified roof, whether it's a lightning protection system, we're moving towards a culture where resilience is part of market value. It's not just walking through a home and saying, hey, I love how many beds and baths it have, and I love the quality of the kitchen. What's the quality of the roof? What's the quality of this home to be able to withstand a lightning strike or to deflect that in some way, shape, and form? That's when resilience becomes part of what homeowners think about when they're going to purchase that next home.
Dale, with extreme weather events increasing, how might lightning risks shift in frequency and severity in the years ahead?
Both homeowners and business owners should expect lightning strikes to increase in frequency and severity. As I said at the outset, lightning traditionally occurs in severe convective storms, think thunderstorm type events. And what data has shown, there's great studies by both Swiss Re and Gallagher that I look at here at the III, that show how much that has been increasing over the prior decade. Nothing is changing with that relative risk. So we should expect an increasing frequency and severity of strikes and how do we prepare our homes and businesses for that? The other thing I would point out from those studies as well and other studies as well is that where these events are occurring is also shifting. You know, we think about, particularly with tornadoes, we talk about Tornado Alley going up and down the plains from Texas up north. But what studies are showing is that severe convective storms and the lightning that they produce are happening, they're shifting eastward. So states in the Southeast and the Midwest that may not think of themselves as being at greater risk for thunderstorms and lightning strikes and tornadoes, they're experiencing that more and more often. And so those homes and those communities and the people that live in them aren't as accustomed to expecting, hey, the weather service is saying a storm's coming. What could that do to me? In the way that people that grew up in Texas and Oklahoma and Kansas, they know, hey, if you hear a storm's coming, you know what to do. People in other states may not be as well educated and informed to know what to do. So it's shifting in geography and also increasing in frequency and severity. And we need to make sure that a broad population of people across geographies are aware of that increasing risk.
Dale, this has been so interesting, so informative, and it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today.
Genuinely my pleasure. I appreciate the opportunity to share our research.
That was Dale Porfilio, Chief Insurance Officer at the Insurance Information Institute. For AM Best Audio, I'm Lori Chortis.
Looking to get the full attention of the insurance industry? We have the platforms that will do just that. Whether it be AM Best TV, AM Best Audio, Best Review Magazine, or Best Day. Find out more by calling AM Best Advertising Sales at 908-439-2200, extension 5399, and have a great day.